What's up, everybody? Happy fucking Monday. Welcome to a brand new week of shows, a brand new week of fun, a brand new week of me. See here, we've been just fucking rocking and rolling, doing Blue Ridge and some other stuff. Last week we had on, who'd we have on last week? We had on Any Given Sin and a bunch of others leading up to Blue Ridge and a lot of other stuff. And, man, I would like to go one day without hearing something negative. You know, I'm sick and tired of opening up my fucking Google News, and the first fucking thing that I see every damn day is, you know, just something stupid. And now, you know, for the next, like, fucking 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to hear nothing but fucking January 6th fucking, you know, trial bullshit. And it's just nonstop shit. I'm over it. Fucking over it. I mean, can't we all just fucking go along with life and just be happy? You know, it's just, I don't fucking know. Let's just fucking get this shit started, shall we?
In life and in music, there is always a dark side. Whether the truth is something you don't want to tell or something somebody doesn't want to hear, these are those stories. The Black Rose Media proudly presents The Dark Side of Music. Blackout the sky.
And welcome, everybody, to The Dark Side of Music. I am the great and powerful King of Kings, Emperor of all that is awesome, Derek. How the hell are you doing today on this beautiful, what is it, June 13th of the year that is, 2020, part two. I mean, you know, I say that every day, 2020, part two, because we had 2020. And then 2021 started to look up. But then, again, I've said this 1,000 times, and I'll probably say it again until the end of the year. Any year that starts off with the death of Betty White, you knew was going to be a fucking shitter. And now we're fucking halfway through this year, and it was right. This fucking year has been just absolutely down the fucking shitter. And, yeah. I can't with the world. And if it wasn't for fucking music, I don't know where I would be. If it wasn't for the show, the people that I get to meet, the bands I get to hang out with at these shows, the cool-ass photographers I get to go hang out with when I do shoots and stuff like that at these concerts as well, and just all these different people in the music scene and the fans like yourselves, if I didn't have y'all, I don't know what the hell would be going on. And I'm sure the bands feel the same way, and I'm sure you guys as fans feel the same way, because this world is just so fucking jacked right now. You know, we don't know our ass from the hole in the ground, but we have each other, and that's what really matters, especially when we go to festivals like Blue Ridge, or we go to festivals like Louder Than Life, which is later, you know, later this the summer as well, or Aftershock, or Incarceration, or Rocklahoma, or Rockfest, or whatever we go to. We got to remember the togetherness and the love that we get from each other while we're there, because that's the most important part of this scene. It's not the music. The music is great, and it's a great added bonus, but the community that we have when we go to these places, that's the thing that matters most. Because when we're at these shows, we don't have the political bullshit. We don't have all these other stuff that we're dealing with. We don't talk about it. We ignore it. We get drunk, eat some good fucking expensive-ass fair food, watch some fucking metal, get into a goddamn pit, crowd surf, and then go the fuck home. And that's how life should be. We should have circle pits at work. We should have walls of death. No, that's not a good idea. I was about to say walls of death in traffic. And that's not a good idea. So scratch that. Don't do that. No walls of death in fucking traffic. You know what? This conversation just took a right turn, and I just lost all credibility. So we're going to go ahead. No, I'm just kidding. But you see my point. And I'm sick and tired of saying it. I've been saying it for fucking 2 years now. But I'm going to continue to say it until fucking something changes. But we're going to try to keep it fucking lighthearted and happy tonight, because tonight I have a band on with me that is getting ready to release a new single this coming Friday, and we'll be playing Blue Ridge Rock Fest in September, September 8th through 11th. I cannot fucking wait. This band is actually going to be playing the camping pre-party, so along with Alien Ant Farm and a bunch of others, so definitely check that fucking out. But today, ladies and gentlemen, I have on with me the band. Excuse me. Burden of the Sky. And we're going to go ahead and kick off this fucking song, this episode, with a song by them called Whiteout. And then when we come back, we're going to fucking have a nice conversation. So here is Burden of the Sky with Whiteout. Out by Burden of the Sky. And let's go ahead and bring on the boys from the band to have a nice fucking chat. So here is Josh and Scott of the band Burden of the Sky.
Hey.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Good.
How's it going?
Good. It's hot, but I'm good.
It's always good to be hot.
No, it's not. No, fuck that. I need snow year round.
Okay. I still sweat when it's snowing, though. I don't know why. I just sweat. Maybe it's like anxiety.
No, that's the weirdest. That's so weird. I love the hot. I love the heat. Man.
Dude, I lived in Florida for 26 years, and I'm done.
Oh, my God.
Done with the fucking heat. Can't fucking do it.
Impressive.
I mean, I live in Maryland now, and, like, it got pretty hot today. It was in the 90s. But now it's, you know, it's after 5, and it's already starting to cool down. It's down into the, you know, low 80s, and it's going to be in the 60s tonight. So it's like, that is good. That is a good life.
Yeah. I feel like living in Florida is like, it's just, you can't breathe. It's just like you walk outside and it's like walking into like a wet, hot ocean. It's just humid all the time and raining all the time.
It is. And then
and alligators.
Also, then you're also surrounded by just fucking absolute idiots. Yeah, I said it. Fucking DM me. I don't give a shit.
Hey, we're from Illinois, so it don't get much better where we're from.
Anytime I talk shit about Florida, my fucking inbox just... I don't care. Fuck y'all. Or my mom will call me, Derek, you know, I still live here. I'm not talking about you, Mom.
Everybody but you.
Everybody but you. Or maybe I am talking about you. Who the fuck knows? So how you guys doing? How's things going for y'all?
Doing good, man. Staying busy. Lots of writing, lots of wrapping up, working on a bunch of new material and just getting ready for shows. And haven't been, you know, with like COVID still affecting everything, we kind of took some time off just to focus on writing. So now we're kind of gearing up to get back out there. Feeling good.
Have you been back there? Have you been back out at all yet?
We played some shows here and there.
Yeah, we spent.
Not too much.
Yeah, we played, God, we just had one-offs like in Chicago and stuff. We got a couple coming up with, we're jumping on, we're getting warmed up. So we're doing a couple with Nonpoint over the next month. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, basically last year we spent the whole year writing an album. We worked with Ricky Armolino, he produced it. So we're jumping on planes back and forth to Pennsylvania. So he produced our album, which we're waiting to release, it hasn't been released yet. So Ricky Armolino from Ice Nine did that. Yep. And then we just did the recent single that we're doing with, that we're releasing next Friday. We spent some time writing for that. And I think we're going to do a couple more, but we did it. Morgan Rose produced it from Seven Dust. And we also have Blake Bedsall from the singer, vocalist of Saul on the song too. So we're excited to get that one out. That comes out next Friday. But then the album we're still sitting on and we still have a bunch more material. And now we're like, shit, did we just start doing another album? What do we start doing? So. I think we're going to still work in some singles in the process, but with Blue Ridge, we got some shows coming up, working hopefully maybe Louder. It sounds like we might still be swung on to, I don't know yet. And then we actually have probably a pretty big tour coming up, but can't even talk about that right now.
Nope. and can't forget to mention Hawk when you talk about Ricky.
Yes. Oh my God, dude. Hawk is what, you know, what's funny.
Yeah.
You played with them. I didn't even realize he was playing an Ice Nine when I first met him. I felt like an asshole.
I saw Hawk before we saw Ice Nine.
See, I saw Ice Nine before I saw Hawk. So,
oh really?
Yeah. Because I fell for Ice Nine in 2018, like right when Silver Scream came out, and at that point he wasn't even like an official member. He was just a touring member, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
And then he became an official member, and then I found out about Hawk after.
Yeah, dude, when I heard Mileage blew my mind. I was like,
this is one of
the most unique, coolest songs I had heard in a long time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Guitar work on there is so nasty.
He's got that thrashy vocal style, which I love too. Yeah. He's an amazing producer, man. And I'm not even joking. In 5 years, that dude's gonna be like one of the big five probably out there. Like, he's so freaking good at writing.
We learned a ton from that guy. Like, it's impressive how hard he works and how good he is at what he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that band, you know, specifically like the whole band, doesn't get the the just that they deserve yet. They're starting to, but they're nowhere near where they should be. And Ricky and Spencer, man, those two guys are the lifeblood of. I know, you know, Ricky's only been around, you know, for 4 or 5 years, but those two are the lifeblood of that band. And the moment they gain a little bit more traction, like they're taking off. I mean, they've had huge success. Don't get me wrong, up to this point. So nobody DM me about this and shit. And you know, like, you know, yes, they have seen massive success. But they deserve so much more. You know, they need to. Yeah. They deserve to be on the level of a Motionless, or you know, even bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're getting. I mean, they're doing all the right things. They just keep climbing up and up, and they're so much fun to see live too, because they do a great job of just making it more than just a concert. You know, especially I know Spencer takes a lot of pride in that, just making it like an all around show. And yeah, dude, it was cool to get to work with them and see how they have their inner workings and just how they do things, and helped us kind of adjust our ways too.
Yeah. And I think, you know, bands like them who are notorious for collaborating with other artists, you know, you get to really, you know, pick up a lot from them and learn. And even though they're still in the learning phases, they're still in the growing phases. So they get to pick some stuff up from you as well. And, you know, whether it's something tiny or something huge, the collaborations of, you know, the artists, I feel, haven't been up to this point, you know, as predominant as they used to be. You know, for a long time in the mid 2000s and stuff like that, a lot of the collaborations went away. But in the last 4 or 5 years, especially during COVID, we've seen this ramp up of collaborations, and you're seeing a lot of amazing stuff happen. And I think that's because of the collaborations and, you know, people really learning and stuff like that, because I think, again, we lost that for a while, and everyone was like, all right, we got to be individual, we got to do this, we got to do this, we got to make a name for ourselves, and the collaboration piece was lost for a while. But now that it's back, I think it's better than ever, because some of the stuff that I've heard is just absolutely mind-blowing, and then when they take it back to their band and they do something different because of that, you know, collaboration, it just adds this little bit of an edge, and it's just amazing to watch.
That's what we were just talking about this a while ago. You remember back in like late 90s, early 2000s, you had Jonathan Davis jumping on Limp Bizkit songs. You had Fred Durst jumping on Korn songs. You had Chino on Seven Dust songs. You had LJ was jumping on shit.
Oh my God. The reanimation
into each other's songs. And yeah, and Linkin Park was doing a bunch of collaborations. Like, that was so awesome. And then, like, from, like, I don't know, I'm just shooting from the hip, like 2004, 2005 to about 2015, all that shit disappeared.
It did, 100%.
And it used to be fun to watch those people jump over and do a song with a different band and stuff. And I feel like, yeah, that just died for a little bit. So it is cool to see, you're right, it's cool to see that all coming back. Spencer's jumping on touch. Bunch of stuff. You see
bunch of stuff.
Toby from Papa Roach doing it, too.
Yeah.
Courtney from Spirit Box.
Yeah, she's on a ton of shit now. She's awesome.
Same thing with Architects, is doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But one of my favorites, it's not even a metal song. It's by two metal goddesses. The collaboration with Amy Lee and Lizzie Hale that came out about, was it a year ago? A year and a half ago now? That amazing ballad just still blows me away. It comes on and just tears. Just like, oh, man, those two fucking females. Because, like, those are the women that open the doors for so many other women to be out there. Whether it's, you know, it's Mixie or, you know, it's Courtney or all these other women that are out there now. If it wasn't for Lizzie and Amy, more specifically Amy, you know, they wouldn't be there. But then to see those two finally collab after nearly 20 years going their separate ways, fucking mind-blowing. Yep. I love
it. And it helped the industry a ton, too, because, like you said, it inspired other artists. And now we have all these kick-ass lead vocalists that are chicks, like Courtney and Ginger and, like, all these really cool bands. And now it just gives more life to the genre and more things to listen to. And I love it. It just expands everything.
Yeah, because right now I think we are in a renaissance period of metal. Rock and metal is right now probably the biggest it's ever been outside of the 80s. But even then, it wasn't what it is today, I think. You know, back then it was, you had your thrash, and then you had your glam metal or your 80s hair metal, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And outside of that, it was really, that was it. And even, you know, the glam, you know, 80s hair metal was more pop, was be comparisons to pop than what it is today. You know, now, sorry for all you Def Leppard and, you know, Poison and Whitesnake fans, but it was the pop of its day. It really was. They were bigger than, they were bigger than Michael Jackson in some cases, you know, back then. But now there's so many genres and subgenres of rock, and it's much bigger than it ever has been, in my opinion. And it's just amazing to see. And it's because of this I don't give a fuck attitude, and it's the, okay, how do we make the scene better attitude? It's not about how can we get our band as big as possible. No, it feels like how can we help everybody to make everybody bigger? That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, because you're right. It did feel like those huge bands, like the Van Halen. Well, I love Van Halen. They're one of my favorite bands. But back in those days, it's just like, it seemed very like for yourself. Like, let's see how big we can get our band. Let's see how far we can get. And now you're right. It's like, what's the community doing? What's cool? Like, what's cool out there? What can we use from other bands, you know, to further this community and further this music, so and see how far we can push ourselves as a community rather than as just a single band. And like, you notice it too, because like when we go out and play with all these bands, like it's more being like a group of friends, you know. You play with the same bands, you meet the same people, and the same fans come out, and you all intermingle, and it's just, it feels like a big family, and it just makes being on the road easier. It makes playing these long shows easier, and the fans love it. It's just, I love how it's one big cohesive unit rather than everyone for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, there's still, you know, the asshole bands that are out there for themselves, obviously. You know,
that's always going to exist.
That's always going to exist. But those are few and far between. And they're few and far between. They're few and far between. Even some of the massive bands that, you know, some people might look at and go, yeah, they're just out for themselves, like you're, you know, the bigger mainstream, not real metal anymore, Five Finger Death Punches of the world, still have, you know, good mentalities and try to help other bands. You know, I mean, if it wasn't for, you know, Five Finger, we wouldn't have Bad Wolves. And granted, we wouldn't have had all the, you know, the drama that came along with that. But we wouldn't have Bad Wolves and other things like that. So, you know, we've got to make sure that, you know, and it's cool to see that kind of stuff happen. And again, it's not going anywhere anytime soon. I mean, you can't look at any other genre. I don't care if it's country or anything else like that. I mean, you cannot look at any other genre and be able to point out the amount of festivals and the amount of people that go to these festivals in any other genre. Coachella was massive, but did any of you really know that it even happened until after it happened this year? Because I didn't.
No.
I didn't even know what was going on. I'm like, oh my God, Coachella happened? When? Oh, wow. That's supposed to be the biggest festival in the country. I didn't
That's
even know.
That's how I always am. That's how I was in the summer camp. I was like, you go to summer camp? I'm like, oh, that happened? I missed it again?
Every year, though, prior to this year, I mean, it was Coachella was always Coachella, 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 Coachella. Then this year it happened. I was like, oh, it happened? I didn't even know it was still going on. And then they had just a huge EDM festival out, you know, in, was it Nevada or whatever it was a couple weeks ago. But those don't even happen as often as they used to. But with our genre, with metal and rock, there's one in every state for like... You know, for like 40 weeks, and you can go anywhere and go see a fucking metal festival. It's fantastic. I fucking love it.
Yeah, festival season is like, it's just like a long extended Christmas. I love it. Like every festival, it's just so much fun going to see those bands.
It is. It's unlike anything else out there. It really is. I mean, you can go see a band 50 times before going to see them at a festival, and you're going to get something different out of them at a festival. Mm-hmm. you're gonna you can go see 100 you know concerts, and then go to one festival in that year, and you're gonna still have your the festival is gonna be the mind blowing one. It's gonna be a 1 day festival, or 2 day festival, and it's gonna blow your fucking mind hole. I mean the amount of awesomeness that happens at festivals is like again it's second to none, just because of just the atmosphere. And what you see, you know, the togetherness, the family, the titties, all other things that happen there.
Especially the titties.
Especially the titties. and I'm not just talking female. There's good, you know, male titties out there too, you know, if you're into that thing, whatever. You know, titties are galore, nudity galore. But it's all happy people. And it's unlike anything else you'll ever see in your life. So, you know, I love promoting festivals because of the community that comes along with it. And in this time of who the fuck knows what is going on in this country, in this world, that is the type of community we need right now. And you know, I've been saying it for fucking months. And, you know, you didn't hear anything other than rainstorms. You didn't hear anything negative coming out of, you know, Welcome to Rockville. Every fan page I read, every review I read, everything that I read, even though it happened in probably the worst state in this fucking union outside of Texas, you didn't hear about that shit, okay? You didn't hear about all the stuff that's going on. All you heard was how positive an experience it was, and they wish it didn't rain. If it didn't rain, you probably wouldn't have heard a negative fucking thing. I didn't hear anything outside of that. And I think that's amazing.
Yeah, dude. Same, because I think that rain though a bunch of bands got canceled. Then I think Saul like all the way out there.
Korn got canceled.
Korn got canceled. Yeah. Guns N' Roses got canceled. Shinedown got canceled in the middle of their set. Brent Smith is out there singing in the rain. Then they had to call it while they were singing. And you know,
oh my gosh.
So it happened a lot of that weekend. And they're giving, I guess, the people who got affected, they're giving tickets to another festival they wanted to drive out there. So they're, you know, DWP is doing a good job of helping, you know, even though it was, you know, it's the rain and it's Florida, it's May, you knew what you were kind of getting, you know, so they're definitely taking care of people. So, you know, go to Inc., go to Louder Than Life, or hell, you know, plan a vacation to California and go to fucking Aftershock. California in October is beautiful. Go to Sacramento. That's a beautiful place. But it's amazing again. And you know, I cannot wait to get to Blue Ridge. I can't wait to get, you know, to all these other festivals or these other shows, because again, none of this other bullshit matters when we're at a fucking show.
Agreed.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break. And we're going to play some more fucking music by Burden of the Sky. We're going to go ahead and play the song Lights. So, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. So here is Lights by Burden of the Sky.
I had a way then, losing it all on my own. I had a heart then, but the king's been overthrown. I'm not sleeping now, dark is too hard to be. I'm not keeping now, the strength I need.
That was Lights by Burden of the Sky. Let's go ahead and get the guys back on and finish up this conversation. All right. God, I love that song. Very few times in my life have I ever said, man, the cover is better than the original. And that's definitely one of them.
Thanks, man.
Oh, dude, thank you.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun to play. It's a ton of fun to play.
I've songs since it came out, and then during COVID. Did we do it during COVID? I can't remember anything anymore.
Yeah, that was like right when COVID hit.
We're like, screw it. Let's take a stab at it.
Yeah, I mean, the whole taking a pop song and making it rock is one of my favorite things on the fucking planet. Because if it's done right, it can be just mind-blowing. And you guys just did an amazing job with it.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, there's like, shit. Well, Scotty's voice lined up with that song perfect. I think you, Miles Kennedy, and maybe like John from Nothing More could get that high for that fucking song.
Yeah, it was not fun. We got it, though.
Man. Yeah, there's very few people that could pull off those high notes like that.
Oh, yeah, that great high.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it's hard to do.
It's just because I used to sing the Ellie version all the time as a kid.
So, one of the things I want to talk about tonight was just announced the other day. And I haven't done a show since it was announced because I've been so fucking sick this week. What Foo Fighters announced the other day, the Taylor Hawkins Memorial Concerts, September 3rd at Wembley, and then September 27th at the Kia Forum. Tickets go on sale June 17th, so a few days, actually this coming Friday. So get your tickets now for the Foo Fighters Taylor Hawkins fucking tribute shows. I mean, that was a shock, to say the least. I didn't talk about it much because it was just very few bands in the last 20 years, now nearly 30 for them. I mean, 25, but have reached the pinnacle that Foo Fighters has. And to know the story of the band and to know the story of Taylor Hawkins more specifically, and then to wake up that day and hear the news was fucking tragic. Foo Fighters is one of those bands that has managed to cross genre lines and just be, everyone's favorite band. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter what genre you love, everybody loves the Foo Fighters. Whether, not necessarily their favorite band, but you know what I'm saying? Like, and that was probably one of the biggest losses in music we've had in a long, long time. And it sucks, but I'm glad that they've, found a way to carry on at least with these two memorial shows, and two of the biggest fucking, stadiums / arenas in the fucking, world to honor this man who is just an absolute legend.
Yeah, I agree.
Foo Fighters, like you said, they're just another level. Like, I agree with you, man. Like, everyone you talk to, like, no one says like, oh, I hate the Foo Fighters. I don't think I've ever had anybody say that. And yeah, I remember when that came across, like, I mean, I get pretty bummed when I see any musician pass away, but I mean, Taylor was a big one. It was like the closest I remember to feeling like the same as like when Chester passed away, because he was such a big influence on me. And it just, I see those pop up and it's hard to believe, like, you grow up listening to those bands and singing those songs. And for me, at least, like, learning those songs and learning how to sing and play guitar, and like, you see them pass away, they're such a big part of your life. You didn't know them, but you feel like you know them, and it still hurts when you lose them.
Yeah, I think too, like, everybody you talk to, like, that knew him, never had a bad thing to say about him. And the dude was like, you know, that whole band is like super humble. You know what I mean? They don't act like they're above anybody. They're like, they're super kind to everybody. Never hear a bad story about those guys are assholes. Like you said, some bands are assholes. There's not a whole lot of them, but usually it is like a lot of times you find it with those bigger ones. Those guys are so down to earth and so nice and caring. And that's what kind of sucks about it is that dude was always chipper. Everybody said, you know, he was just the kindest, coolest motherfucker on the planet. And that's what, I think that even drives it home even worse. It's just like, fuck, man, what a great soul. We lost a great soul and an amazing musician, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, and it was either the week of or the week before Taylor's passing, I had talked to the band Radke, who just got off a tour with them. They were also part of the documentary with Dave Grohl and stuff like that. So Radke's become like, you know, ingrained with them. And I talked to them, like I said, about a week or two before Taylor's passing. And just hearing, you know, personal stories. Oh, and also I had talked to another band by the name of Air, who had just, you know, did some collaborations with Foo Fighters as well. So I had talked to these two, you know, up-and-coming bands that had, you know, collaborated with them, and goes back to that whole collaboration thing. And then to hear all, like I said, these personal stories of, you know, how cool they were, and, you know, the fact that I got, you know, one of them was like, I got to play on fucking Taylor's kit. It was like the coolest fucking dream come true. And, you know, my drums are on Taylor's kit on the fucking record and blah, 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 blah. You know, all these just amazing things I get to hear, just like personal interactions. So for me, it was like a little bit of a, like, almost like I was, you know, I knew him a little bit better because I get to hear these cool ass stories from people who lived it. And it was just like, man, because, you know, I just think back to, you know, just all these amazing songs that, you know, just have pulled me out of some dark, dark places. Or, you know, how many times I can go on fucking line and watch on YouTube, you know, Foo Fighters in fucking Brazil, and to see how huge and massive that fucking concert was. And, you know, just the amazing outcrying and the outpouring of how cool this band was. Or the fact that, and I've talked this up 100 times too, but am I, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're the only band to play New Zealand and have such a large crowd that it caused a fucking earthquake.
Oh my God, I didn't even hear about that.
You never heard that?
No.
It was like 2011, 2012, 2010, somewhere around there. The crowd was so massive. And they were jumping up and down. It actually registered on the Richter scale.
Dude, that's like, how do you beat that? Like, someone was going to say something like, oh, I played all these festivals. Like, yeah, I caused an earthquake. What'd you do?
It's amazing.
Yeah, and
I just want to, I want that on my resume. Earthquake causes. Just it caused as like a title.
That would be, you know, the, like, that would be like the pinnacle of like amazingness, you know? Like, hey, guess what we did?
Yeah. That's like Death Clock level cool.
Yeah,
like,
it was 2011. A Foo Fighters concert Tuesday in New Zealand called Geological Vibrations on Par with Volcanic Tremors, according to scientists.
They better have at least gotten a ribbon or a medal or something for that.
But I'm saying that's like, you know, they've done things that only a handful of other bands could ever say they've done, you know?
Yeah.
They've done it with grace too. I mean, like, they've been successful. There's no real baggage with the band. Everyone gets along with them. Everything, all good stories. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, they are the biggest band to come out of this current generation. If you look at 90, you know, from 1991 on, no band has reached that level outside of Foo Fighters. Now, if you go prior to 1990, you know, there has, obviously. But post-1990, not even, you know, the predecessor, Nirvana, got to that big. you know, nobody has reached the level of what Foo Fighters has managed to pull off in the last 30 years. And it's mind-blowing. And to know that it's not going to be that same lineup anymore, to know that they're still young. They're still in their 50s. You know, and they still, you know, have so many more good years left. It just sucks. It just absolutely sucks.
Here's a question for you. This came up. I asked this to a couple of buddies the other day. Do you think potentially, now this is a stretch, but potentially, do you think, because they are still young and the Grohl's going to keep playing, do you think potentially they could be the greatest American rock band to ever exist?
Absolutely.
When it's all said and done. They got to beat out Aerosmith, right? What do you got to beat out? The Eagles. I mean, there's a few more, but yeah, right?
When it's all said and done, yeah, absolutely. I think
so too.
I think they are this generation's Rolling Stones.
I could see that. I could see that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to overtake Metallica. They're going to overtake Aerosmith. They're going to overtake Eagles. They're going to overtake them all. I don't know if that was his goal. I definitely don't think that was his goal. But
I don't think so.
He just wanted to
play.
I
think Dave just likes having a good fucking time.
Yeah, but no, and then, at the end of the day, the Foo Fighters will be the greatest American rock and roll band of all time.
That's the big one is Metallica. That's the one I left out. Yeah, Metallica. Aerosmith, Eagles are, I think, the big three biggest sellers on American, right? Rock bands. So, yeah.
That'd be crazy. Right, yeah. Yeah, and I definitely think Dave Grohl is going to go down as probably one of the greatest musicians of all time. I mean, hands down. I mean, the dude literally plays every single instrument. You know, that first album, most people don't know, that was all done by him. He literally wrote and recorded everything on his own and only recorded band members after that album was done. No, a lot of people don't realize that. And, you know, that just goes to show you what he's done and how amazing this man is. And, you know, he was able to convince a drummer that was literally playing the drums for probably the biggest artist at that time in Alanis Morissette.
Alanis Morissette, yeah.
He was like, he called Alanis Morissette's drummer and said, "Hey, you want to come play with me?" And he's like, "Sure, let me leave the biggest artist in America right now, and in Canada and, you know, the United States, everywhere. Let me leave her to come play with you." And look at what they've done. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. It's mind-blowing, and it's so tragic. I mean,
yeah.
It just goes to show you that even the one, I mean, especially the ones you never suspect are just as susceptible to, you know, mental health issues and alcohol, you know, and drugs and alcohol issues. You know, never really heard much about, you know, drugs and alcohol issues out of that band. I mean, alcohol use, of course. I mean, but I've never really heard of potential issues. Mm-hmm. Have you guys? I mean, it literally shocked me.
Yeah, same. Because like I said, like they have such a good notoriety. Like they're known for just being great musicians.
Oh, sorry. You mean with Taylor? You never heard that?
No.
On the one documentary, they talk about it. I don't remember what I saw. I watched it a few years ago, but they talked about like he had to step out for a little bit because he was sick. Dave Grohl was talking about it just from doing drugs. I don't know what it was. It was heroin or blow or whatever it was. But they mentioned on one documentary, the Hearing Back Again one or whatever it's called. They mentioned
it
on there.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
Remember
you're
he got off the plane and he said he looked like a ghost or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm misquoting him. But yeah, that was the only time I ever heard it. So then when I heard that, I was like, maybe it was
I had never even heard that. I need to watch that documentary.
Yeah.
That was a good documentary.
Really, really good.
Yeah, that was
That starts off with him, Scotty, like talking about like when he was talking about like he wrote that whole first album and talked about after Kurt died, he went down in the basement, his basement, and just pretty much wrote a whole damn album like a year after.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. Damn.
And that was also the one that had where Chris Novoselic came in to play a guest part on the album, right?
like in his pool house recording studio.
Yep.
You got it. Yeah.
Yep, that was it. Yep. Okay. I do remember that now. Yeah. But still, yeah, you're right. Outside of that, it wasn't, you know, a thing. If Mick Jagger came out, you know, they said Mick Jagger dies of a fucking OD, you know, it's like, ah! Didn't he do that like 30 years ago? there's certain things, you know, that you don't, you just kind of like, I kind of expected that. It's still tragic and still sad, but he wasn't one that I expected. So, I mean, it's, if you have the opportunity to go see one of these two shows in California or in the UK, grab your fucking tickets. Not a sponsor. I get nothing for saying that. But you know what? They were supposed to be a part of some of the huge... They were supposed to be at Welcome to Rockville. They were supposed to be at Think Louder Than Life. And I'm pretty sure they were supposed to be at Aftershock as well and a bunch of other places. You know, they don't usually typically perform at festivals. They've done festivals, but they don't do them a lot. This was an opportunity for a lot of different people to see him, and they lost that opportunity. But if you get an opportunity now to go see them do this tribute show, which I'm sure is going to feature a shit ton of guest artists and acts and people just coming to buy just to say, you know, we miss you, you know, Taylor and stuff like that, it's going to be a sight to see. So definitely, if you can get the tickets to these things, go do it. And we have another guest on the show.
Brio hopping in for a little bit.
He just got a new haircut, so he's all jacked and running around. He looks like he's 25 now. He's one.
When my 11-year-old comes to visit, she always likes to jump in and be like, "Hey, how you guys doing?" So, kids on the show is not a new thing for me. Guys, I just want to say thank you very much for coming on tonight. You guys are fucking amazing, and I appreciate you just shooting the shit with me and having a good time with me, and not, you know, not going with the typical, you know, thanks for having us, and you know, let's talk about the new album I hate those fucking types of interviews. I enjoy just a good conversation and just, let's just shoot the shit for a fucking hour. And, you know, that's what we did.
No, yeah, we appreciate it, man.
So let's go ahead and just go out with a little bit here of that typical bullshit, just to make sure we get the plugs in. So what's going on for the rest of the summer? I know you got a new release coming out this coming Friday called The Flood. What else is going on?
Yeah, so we're prepping right now to get that released. And like Josh said, we're working on a tour, but can't talk much about it right now just because nothing's confirmed yet. But working on that. And then like we talked about earlier, we worked with all these songs with Ricky and Morgan, and we're polishing them up, putting on the final touches and the mixes, and just getting ready to release some new music.
All right. And then also capping off the summer with Blue Ridge Rock Fest, September 8th through 11th. You guys will actually be playing the 7th. At the pre-party camping thing with the Alien Ant Farm of all fucking bands.
Hell yeah.
That's going to be fucking interesting. I've never seen Alien, and I cannot fucking wait.
I grew up loving them, and I've never seen them either, and I'm also stoked. It's going to be fun.
Cold's on that night.
I forgot Cold, too.
I wish it was the old school group, but, like, Cold's like one of my oldest inspirations, man. They play the effects guitars and shit. That's the stuff I grew up on. So getting to play with them is kind of, it's pretty fucking awesome.
Cold plays one of my favorite songs of all time. Their acoustic song, Bleed.
Bleed?
Oh,
yeah.
That song is like the epitome of chills. You know, just like, you know, just my love is music. It's just like that's what that song preaches. And that's what I preach on this fucking show. And that's what we need to preach more of, is when we love music the way we're supposed to, all is right in the world, because we forget about all the other bullshit. We forget about the semantics and the fighting and the arguing and the other stuff that happens. At the end of the day, when we love music the way we're supposed to, it transcends all the hate. and just brings together a community of love that is unlike anything else out there. That sounds fucking cheesy and, you know, bullshit, you know, like I'm trying to sell a fucking concert or sell music. That's not what I'm doing here. That is a true fucking statement that I will go to my grave with. Music transcends it all. And when we do what we need to do at these concerts or these festivals or just listening to our Alexa on a daily basis, nothing else fucking matters. And we need to make sure that we do that more often, because we get a lot of amazing shit that happens, like Taylor Hawkins and Foo Fighters and all these other amazing fucking acts, including Burden of the Sky. So, guys, thank you so fucking much for being here tonight. I cannot wait to see you guys in person, meet you guys in September. We're going to rock out hard that fucking weekend, and we're going to have a good fucking time.
Hell yeah, brother. Thanks so much for having us.
Appreciate it.
No problem.
Yeah.
Good luck with the new release, and hopefully the tour is announced soon, and we'll be able to chat about that later. But until then, you guys have a great rest of your fucking night, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, man.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, brother.
No problem, guys. Have a good one.
Later.
Peace. And that was Burden of the Sky. Hope you all enjoyed that conversation. Good fucking dudes. Again, get your tickets now at BlueRidgeRockFest.com. I shouldn't have done that. I know I'm dying. Allergies suck, and this cold sucks, or whatever the fuck I have. I don't know. I blame my girlfriend, or my, you know, my kid's school. I don't fucking know. Something's going on. But man, I you know, my daughter can't stop being sick. I can't stop being sick. My girlfriend can't stop being sick. But it's allergies, a stomach bug, or a cold, whatever, man. Thank God it's not COVID. Or maybe our luck is like it's a strain of COVID that doesn't test positive on. And we're all just fucking dying right now. And we're just passing this death virus back and forth to each other. I don't fucking know. But guys, thank you so much for fucking being here tonight on this beautiful fucking Monday. But we will be back again tomorrow with a brand new show and a whole bunch of fun ass shit. But until then, we're going to go out with one more by the band Burden of the Sky with their song Kicking and Screaming. So, guys, I love you guys so fucking much. I'll see you all tomorrow. But until then, stay happy, stay healthy, stay fucking heavy. Here is Kicking and Screaming by Burden of the Sky. We'll see you all tomorrow. Peace.